Hello and welcome to the East Point Community Church Podcast with Pastor Chris Billiter. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to John 21. We're going to continue our series called The Aftermath, looking at what happens in the life of Jesus' disciples immediately following the resurrection. Last week, we looked at this scene where the disciples, seven of them, are out fishing and they're not catching anything. And suddenly, a strange guy on the land says, "Hey, cast your nets this way." And they do. And suddenly, it's a huge haul of fish. It was massive, but the nets didn't break. And they begin to haul the fish in. Peter realizes it's the Lord, and he jumps in the water to go and see him. And they sit and they have breakfast with these fish. We talked about how it was reminiscent of Luke chapter 5. In Luke 5, Jesus, early in his ministry, sees some of these same men fishing. And he calls out to them, and he says, "Cast your nets this way." And they do. And in Luke 5, in that time, the nets are so full of fish that they break. And Peter kind of freaks out, and he's like, "Woe to me, because I'm in the presence of somebody." They didn't fully know. They were aware of who Jesus was. They'd seen him around. But at this moment, Peter realizes Jesus is something big, someone to be respected. And he would eventually grow to see that Jesus is one to be worshiped. But as Peter says, "Woe to me, I don't know if I should be near you, away from me, because like I can't be in your presence." Jesus says something. He says, "Come. Come follow me." And he tells them, "I will make you fishers of men." There is a fishing expedition. There's Jesus instructing the disciples where to cast their nets. And it ends with an invitation from Jesus to Peter that says, "Come follow me." And Peter did. And Peter followed Jesus passionately. Peter followed Jesus intently. And sometimes, if I may say it, Peter followed Jesus stupidly. And what I mean by that is sometimes Peter wanted to do things his own way. That's how he winds up cutting a guard's ear off, trying to stop them from arresting Jesus, right? But Peter loved the Lord. So, when Jesus winds up warning Peter that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, it comes as a shock to the system. Because you're like, "Not Peter. Not him." But Jesus is indeed arrested, and Peter sits around a charcoal fire, and someone asks, hey, don't you know him? Aren't you with him?" "No, not me." "Hey, are you sure? Because I think I saw..." "No, that was someone else." "No, I really think that was you. I tell you, I do not know him." And a rooster crows. And immediately the weight of what he had done crashes down on Peter. Denied the one that he swore to follow. Denied the one that he said he would love. It is a failure on every level. One that it seems would be hard to recover from. So now here in John 21, once again, there's a charcoal fire. If you remember last week, Jesus invited the disciples to come to have breakfast with him. And they do. And they realize that it is indeed the Lord. And in John 21, verse 15, it says this: "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" It's an interesting question. You could be tempted to be like, is Jesus trying to stir up trouble? He's not. He's not trying to get Peter to brag. But Peter has made bold statements about his love for Christ, that he would do anything. And we see that in his life. "Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, he being Peter, said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." We understand that Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the lambs. We understand that Jesus is the good shepherd. And when he takes that title up in John, he is going back, hearkening back to the book of Ezekiel, when God himself says, "Woe to you wicked shepherds of Israel, who have made yourself fat off of the very people that you were supposed to protect. Where you have failed, I myself will be their shepherd." So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is acknowledging that he is God who has come to be the shepherd of his people. And here, when he asked Peter around the fire, "Do you love me as much as you say you do?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Jesus once again goes back to the shepherding language of Scripture, and he says to him, "Feed my lambs." He gives him a direct order. "You will show your love for me by feeding my people, by caring for my people." We could wonder what Peter is thinking in this moment when he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Like, if I'm Peter, I'm like, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do. I'm hoping maybe you don't know that about that whole denial thing, and we can just skip past that." It's a fair question to ask someone that said he didn't even know Jesus three different times. So Peter, probably in meekness, perhaps with a little bit of fear, hopeful that maybe he can convince Jesus that it was just a bad night, says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." In verse 16, he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." Jesus asked a second time, "Do you love me?" It goes beyond what Peter was asked, "Do you know him?" And where he said no, now Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? All that you said, is it true? Is it real?" "Yes, Lord. Yes, you know that I love you." Then again, we have shepherding language. "Feed my lambs, now tend to my sheep." Jesus, last week when we looked, told his disciples that he would send them out. And here we see this being sent out with a specific mission to care for the flock of God. We see Jesus giving Peter the mission of a shepherd. In the absence of the good shepherd, go and do the work of a shepherd. Go and do the work of a pastor to feed and care for the flock of God. It's a restoration that comes with marching orders. "Yes, I love you. Then put your love into action, Peter, by tending to my sheep." Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And again, this is why I love Peter. He loves Jesus, but he's kind of dumb. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter acted like he didn't even know Jesus. And now he's all in his feelings that Jesus had the audacity to say, "Do you love me?" I personally think it's a fair question. Caleb, you wrote a Bible study about Peter this summer. Like, when he messed up big, right? Like, Peter was like, "If I'm going for it, I'm going all in," right? So it's not that he pushed a guy. He got a sword and chopped a guy's ear off. It's not that when he was asked, "Do you know Jesus?" he said, "You know what, I'd prefer not to talk about it right now. I'm just trying to warm myself by the fire, and what happened in the past is in the past, and, you know, whatever." No, he's like, "No, I don't even know the man." Like, he went all in. So when Jesus asks him a third time, Peter fails to realize something. Peter is grieved because he thinks this is simply about Jesus not believing him. What Peter doesn't see is that by asking three times, he's restoring Peter for the three times that he denied him. He's making right what Peter made wrong. I was joking with Kent and Angie via text this week because, again, I am a product of my time, which is I was born in the year of our Lord, 1980. I am the last of Gen X. Sorry about all you all millennials, which means I came up in the perfect time where we had Stephen Curtis Chapman, Newsboys, Audio Adrenaline, DC Talk, and Praise to the Lord Third Day. Okay? And some of you all that are of that age will remember that Third Day had a song called Can't Take the Pain. That's all about Peter's denial. And how he it's from Peter's perspective, how he didn't see it coming, that he would do something so awful. And then it gets to this bridge line and says, and then for every time I ever did deny, you ask me if I love you. You know I do, Lord. Jesus asking Peter three times whether he loved him wasn't Jesus trying to be convinced. It was Jesus redeeming where Peter had gone so wrong. And I want to stay here for just a minute. I told y'all I think this is a powerful story for a lot of reasons. But one of those reasons is that I have no doubt that there are people in this room today that have a past. And you have things where you look back on it and you're like, oh, how could I do something like that? And you're wondering. You're wondering, can Jesus even redeem that? Can Jesus make right what I made so absolutely wrong? And I think the story of Peter's restoration here gives us an answer that is a certain yes. That yes, you may have sinned deeply. And guys, let's be honest. Saying you don't know Jesus three times in public in his worst moment when he's being crucified is pretty rough. But Jesus restores Peter. And I'm here to tell you, not because you're good, not because of what you've done since then and how hard you've worked to make it right, frankly, has nothing to do with that. But because of the grace of the Father shown through the Son, Jesus Christ, even our worst moments can be forgiven and you can be redeemed and made new. This is the good news of the gospel. And it's for those who do not believe. It's for you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good, that he is kind and just and merciful and forgiving. But friends, church folk, it's also for those who have believed. You just aren't sure if you believe that. I'm here to tell you that guilt and condemnation are not of the Lord. Conviction by the Holy Spirit of our sin that leads us to Jesus is a gift from God. But guilt and condemnation for those that are in Christ goes against everything that we see in Scripture. Romans tells us there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And at this moment, Peter is going to have a decision to make in just a few minutes. Is he going to sit and wallow in his worst moments? Or is he going to stand in the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ and live? Too many times Christians are kept on the sidelines because they believe that Jesus forgives all their sins except for this one. They believe that the mercy of God is great and deep, except it can't go quite this far. And Peter shows us that the grace and mercy of Jesus covers even our worst moments. Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, you know, he's grieved. And maybe he's feeling a bit of a victim here. Maybe he's got tears in his eyes because he's wounded. Maybe he's like, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Lord, you know everything. when Peter first encountered Jesus in a miraculous catch of fish, he bows down because he realizes that Jesus is much more than he anticipated. Here, after a second catch of miraculous fish, after Jesus asking him three times, once again, Peter acknowledges rightly who Jesus is. Lord, you are over all. You are God. You are all-knowing. You know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, then go. Then go and care for my people. Go and watch over my lambs. Feed my sheep. And then he says to him, and this goes back to, do you love me more than the rest of these? Do you love me as much as you say you do? Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Verse 19, this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Jesus tells Peter, there will come a time where you will be walked to a place that you do not want to go. Your hands will be stretched out. This is to show that Peter would be crucified in martyrdom to Christ, for Christ. His commitment to Christ would lead to his death. That's why Jesus starts with, do you love me as much as you say that you do? Because friends, when we commit to follow Jesus with everything that we have, there are times it's going to lead to uncomfortable places. For Peter, it would ultimately lead to his death. Peter, do you love me as much as you say you do? When you're old, you will not be able to go where you want to go, but you will be taken there. Your arms will be stretched out. And he says this to show that he would die to glorify God. And just as Peter on the shore of that lake in Luke chapter 5 said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He said to him, follow me. I think we're going to stop there today. He said to him, follow me. Follow me. Follow me with everything that you have, Peter. You denied me, but I have restored you. You weren't sure who I was, but now you see. You have said that you love me more than anyone or anything. Then follow me. Follow me. And friends, we are given the same invitation. That when we believe that Jesus is Lord, when we believe and trust in him to forgive our sins, when we repent and confess and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we are saved. And therefore, the natural outflow of that is to follow Jesus. It would have been a real letdown if Peter went through this restoration. And then it was like, all right, I'm good. Me and God are good, so now I can just go do my own thing. But what we know of Peter is that he would spend the rest of his life living out these last two words. Follow me. Follow me. He would be there in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came down, and he would boldly proclaim the gospel. He would go on to be a leader in the church. He would go on to shepherd churches and shepherd pastors. And later in his life, he would write a letter to the churches scattered. And he would say this to the elders of the churches of the diaspora. And he lists where they're all scattered. I give you this charge. Shepherd the flock among you. Those were his words. Shepherd the flock. Shepherd the people of God. Shepherd. Feed my lambs. Tend to my sheep. Follow me. Peter believed so much in the grace of Jesus that he spent the rest of his life living out what Jesus had called him to do. So much so that he started telling other people, this is how you do it. This is how you live. Friends, it is to our great good that Jesus forgives us completely and makes us right with God in forgiving us. That's what restoration, that's what reconciliation with God looks like through Christ. But that is never the end of the story. because we have received such grace, we are then invited to live the rest of our days on mission for the King. As ambassadors of the kingdom, as representatives of the King, as those who go and make Jesus known. Peter had failed in the worst way possible. Some of y'all, you feel guilty and beat yourself up because you say a bad word on Monday, and then by Friday, you're like, I still can't believe I did that. And like, I'm not saying say the bad word. I'm saying, hey, grace is real. But the things that we beat ourselves up for often don't compare to what Peter did. But look at what Jesus did through Peter. He said, I will use you. I will use you. And then he used them in miraculous ways because Peter believed that grace was real. And Peter believed that the call to follow Jesus meant more than just gathering in a weekly worship service. Peter believed that the call to follow Jesus was not simply merely a personal thing that affects only his inner life, but that it should change everything about who he is and how he lives. Friends, our call to follow Jesus is not just a call to gather on Sunday mornings. It's to go and make him known. It's to go and preach the gospel. It's to go and follow with everything that we have. That's what Peter did. He went on to lead the church by shepherding the church. And we know his faith in Christ led to his death, a martyrdom for the cause of Christ. And here's what's beautiful. He went. He followed. He followed Jesus, even unto death. Why? Why does someone? Why does someone follow Jesus unto death? I think that's the wrong question to ask. The right question is, when we believe everything that Jesus says about himself and what he's done for us, how can we do anything other than to follow him, no matter where it might lead? How can we not go? Peter'd seen too much. He'd seen the glory of Christ revealed. He'd seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And then he experienced what for him was probably the greatest miracle of all. That in the depths of his despair over his own failure, Jesus said, I'm not done with you yet. I will still use you. I will forgive you. And I will restore you. Friends, let me ask a couple of questions. Do you believe what Peter believed about Jesus? That he is the Lord who knows all. That he is the Son of the living God. That he is the Christ, the long hoped for one. Do you believe that Jesus is the one that can make you right with the Father? If maybe perhaps the first time, because look, when Peter first decided to follow Jesus, I'm convinced he didn't have it all figured out, but he knew Jesus was worthy of following. And Jesus showed himself to Peter. So maybe this is the first time where it's all clicking for you, and you're like, I see who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart even now to believe in Christ. And if that is where you are today, we invite you to confess as Peter did that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Lord, that God raised him from the dead, to believe in him for your salvation. If you've never believed that Jesus can save you, we invite you today to believe. And if you have believed that for yourself, then let me ask you this, do you believe that for all of your life? Do you believe that for even your darkest moments, that even people that love you the most don't even know about, that you can't even begin to utter a whisper of it because it brings so much shame? Friends, Jesus can forgive and does forgive that as well. And do you believe it enough that you'll follow him with everything? Not just an hour and a half on Sunday. But do you believe that if Jesus is Lord, he's worthy of every ounce of our strength, every breath that we breathe? We invite you today to believe. I'm going to ask the team to come up. If you've never believed that Jesus is the one that can save you, the Christ, the Messiah, as Peter confessed, and you have questions about what it means to believe in Jesus, I'm going to be sitting in the back, and we'd love to talk to you about what it means to believe. Maybe you've confessed that Jesus is Lord and you believe all that stuff. You're just not quite sure it applies. Then maybe today you'll believe that Jesus is greater. That his grace is greater than all our sin. And you'll get off the sidelines out of shame and jump into life following Jesus. I'm going to be standing in the back. If you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, you come. Maybe you've been here for a while and you've been checking things out and you're like, I'm not quite sure how I got here, but I believe that Jesus is calling me, that the Father is calling me to join my life with this church family, to follow Jesus together in this faith community. I know that's not a small step, doesn't need to be. But if that's you and you're ready to say, hey, I'm ready to join with this church, we'd love to have you. I'll be standing in the back. You can come talk to me about that. Maybe your response is just to praise the one who has done so much for you. If that's the case, then you sing with everything that you have. Father God, we pray that you move in this time. We pray that you would change hearts. That people who are far off in their sin would be drawn near by the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that they would believe. God, move in this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you're in the Louisville area, we would love to see you in person at our weekly service, Sundays at 10 a.m. In the meantime, grace and peace, and we hope you'll join us again soon.